Okay. In the original program for this panel, it was intended that we'd have Jim Forright from the Population Council come and talk about scaling up systematic screening. Unfortunately, Jim wasn't able to be with us here today, but we're very fortunate to have Susan Ingres graciously to make herself available to present for us. Susan is the Director of Field Programs at Georgetown University's Institute for Reproductive Health. Susan has over 20 years of experience in international health, working in Asia, Africa, and the Caribbean for such agencies as Catholic Relief Services, Development Associates, the Global Health Council, and CARE International. At the Institute for Reproductive Health, Susan is responsible for overseeing and supporting field programs as they move from research to scale up under the Fertility Awareness Method Project. Susan?
Thank you. I am really delighted to be here. And when Jason called, it was like, this is a really nice opportunity to talk about scaling up, which is something very central to what we're doing at IRH in this the FAM project, which is supporting a lot of most of our work, but also to talk, to draw some of the linkages with the theoretical model that Laura presented and how we're actually using that model within the context of our programs as we're striving to scale up the standardized method in different countries and some focus countries. Before I begin, though, I did not put down a slide talking about my commercial and financial relationships, so for the oral record, I would like to state that I do not have any. The Fertility Awareness-Based Project is a program that we are currently implementing, but it's basically based on activities that we were supported through prior USAID-funded projects to develop and test fertility awareness-based methods. So we're at the point, particularly with the standard days method, which I'm going to talk about, to taking it to scale, to full-scale integration in public as well as private sector family planning programs. One of the things that Laura was talking about was the innovation. I want to talk a little bit about our innovation for people who don't really know that much about the standard days method. But it is a fertility awareness-based method that through prior work under the Awareness Project, testing and research that's been done by IRH, it has proven to be 95% effective with correct use and 88% with typical use. It's really a low-cost method that doesn't have side effects. And it works by identifying a fixed fertile window in the menstrual cycle when pregnancy is most likely to occur. And it uses cycle beads. It's one of the things it uses, that little couple showing there. It's basically a tool to help you know when that fertile period is there, and then the couples or the individual who's using it either abstain or use condoms or diaphragms to protect themselves so that they don't have unprotected sex. I put it up there because one of the big questions around scaling up is, do you have something that should be scaled up? And what are the attributes of something that really is scaling up? And Expanded has done some interesting thinking on that, as well as others. But why offer the SEM? Why is it one thing that should be scaled up? And through the research, it's really been proven to be effective. It does expand the range of modern choices. What we're seeing through the research also is it's bringing people who have never used or been interested in other family planning methods to family planning programs. The research has also shown the ease of use with women, and because it uses the cycle beads, it's easy to use, it's easy for counselors to teach women how to use it, it's easy for women to use it, and so it's appropriate for public sector programs. But when you think about scaling up and a lot of the work that IRH has done to pass, which is starting some of the early stages of scaling up, it hasn't necessarily taken it to full scale in many places yet, you really do have to think of these mutually reinforcing efforts that ensure sustainability of SDM and family planning programs. What you hear often in the field is people saying, oh, this has been scaled up because you know, it's in our family planning norms and guidelines, or all of our, or most of our providers are trained in offering this method. But it's a lot more complex, and there's a lot more interrelated things that you have to be aware of and try and work on if you're really going to have sustainable scale-up. So if you look at this diagram, which kind of tries to show processes around scaling up, that really there's a lot of work in services integration that, you know, you have to do the provider training, and you have to make sure the method is available, that there is supervision, that becomes a new method that's part of an existing IEC activity to inform people of their family planning choices. At the same time, there really is this need for some systems integration. So it's not just in the norms and procedures, but it's in pre- and in-service training curricula, supervision systems, health information systems, procurement and distribution, as well as budget lines. And what moves that forward when you think of a scaling up process is that little cog to the very left, sort of the political support and the technical leadership. Because just introducing something by itself isn't necessarily going to mean it's going to move further and actually become sustained. So we at IRH have begun a very interesting and fruitful collaboration with ExpandNet, and are using their model to guide our scaling up efforts. I think in talking with our staff and our counterparts, there's a lot of advantages we see to this particular model, based in part from past experiences and issues that IRH has and counterparts have had to address as they're actually starting to introduce and test the method in different countries. But part of it is that it does take a systems approach, and you can't forget the whole systems element, and that everything that you're doing operates in an open systems context that encourages participatory approaches. It creates consciousness of rights and equity issues as you're going through a scaling up process, so you don't forget those critical elements. That it uses evidence and information to guide strategic choices and directions for expansion and adjustment as you're going through the scaling up process, and offers a common language for our staff, for our counterparts in discussions on scaling up. So we start our collaboration about 1 year ago with ExpandNet, where we were beginning the FAM project, and we brought in our country representatives from the countries that are listed on the bottom line, as well as Ministry of Health partners, and introduce them to the model. And in the past year, we've really been moving from the theoretical part of the model to the real practical applications, which I want to share more with later on. But we're seeing that this model is a planning and evaluation tool for us and our counterparts that will guide the SDM integration efforts into family planning and development programs at national level. So let me give you one example. One way we're using it is really working with stakeholders, and I think this is the more maybe traditional way that ExpandNet and the scaling up model have been envisaged. And so I'll talk a little bit about Madagascar, where we very recently held a strategic planning meeting, but first put it in that environmental, that socio-political context that Laura was talking about. And Madagascar is a really interesting place for family planning right now, well, in the last couple of years, because it has such a strong political commitment to family planning. It's actually mentioned as part of the poverty reduction plan at the government, and that message is really all the way down to local administration level. But the environment has been shifting since IRH began there in 2006. There's been a decentralizing government environment, and there's some confusion around as decentralization occurs about roles and responsibilities, but the government is very aware and moving to clarify things as it happens. SDM is one of the recognized better reproductive health practices that the government has said we want to take these up to scale by 2012. Services, through our work with mostly USAID bilaterals, are reaching currently a third of the country, so that the SDM has been integrated into health facilities, social marketing, and community-based networks, and some of our work with Population Services International. And there's now increasing religious institutional interest in offering the SDM. The other thing that we're seeing is this spontaneous diffusion, because there is interest in using this method. And when we were there a couple months ago with ExpandNet, we learned that PSI had been approached by Catholic Church facilities to do training so that they could offer the SDM. And the Ministry of Health itself had taken on SDM supervision and training as part of its in-service integrated family planning program training. And this is wonderful because this is the type of partnerships that allow something to be scaled up. But it does have some worrying elements to it, and you really do need to monitor and potentially managing it as you go through a scale-up process. If you're adding something new, like a new family planning method, it's really critical that it develops a good social reputation. You know, if people start using the method, if they start seeing failures, if they start seeing problems with it, that can really ruin anything that you're trying to introduce as a scale-up. So how do you actually manage those great things that are happening so that you're ensuring quality and that people's rights are being respected? So what we did in Madagascar is this effort has been really led by the Ministry of Health and Social Protection with the Director of Reproductive Health there. But the Ministry of Health, ExpandNet, and IRH staff, before the big strategic planning meeting that we had a field assessment. And we looked at not just the typical things that you usually look at, you know, the quality of services, the product availability, how methods are being offered, but really gearing some of the questions to look at capacity of systems to actually sustain something after it's been introduced. Or what are the gaps? Who are the other organizations that have some influence on this actually going to scale? We had the big planning event then, and again, the Ministry of Health led it. That's one of the regional directors who, as we went through our participatory exercises, sort of looking at some of the big questions that had been identified prior to, but also a lot on the field assessment, working through these things. As you're going to scale, what are some of the things you have to really be aware of? So we had a planning workshop that is going to be replicated in two-thirds of the other regions, which is good. A lot of the big issues can actually be discussed that weren't being discussed but were festering. Places where community-based SDM was being offered where the services weren't yet offering it, and some of the confusion and problems it was leading. The other reason that this has been useful for us at IRH is it's actually giving clear directions to support our central, how we're going to support the central Ministry of Health, the NGOs and FBOs in their scaling up plans, and how we're actually going to help transfer responsibility, things that IRH was doing to these other organizations, the user organizations. I'll talk briefly about Rwanda and Mali, because we're using it a bit differently there. Madagascar was how we're working with all of our stakeholders to do it. In Mali and Rwanda, we're basically currently using it as an internal check on what we're doing and what we might be forgetting. So in Rwanda, we had a scaling up assessment, and in asking the systems and capacity questions, came up with a really interesting thing that no one had ever really paid any attention to, performance-based financing, which you wouldn't necessarily think in a traditional family planning program assessment to even ask or think or look at. And yet, it was something that was potentially influencing the sustainability of offering this method as part of other family planning methods. Because what had happened, I don't know if people have ever heard of performance-based financing, but it's being rolled out, it's being scaled up in Rwanda, and it's a way to try and quantify services that are being delivered, as well as looking at quality aspects of those services, and based on that, and through a formula, support healthcare facilities, give them operating funds. What was found was that family planning was in there, but the SDM was not, and so you have this potential bias where people are not, since they're not going to be rewarded for SDM, you know, maybe there's a potential bias there. So it led to a new government relationship, and the strategy, and through some advocacy efforts, it's now going to be incorporated into their formula as of 2009. Mali, another assessment happened, or also earlier this year, and it showed a lot, some information and evidence gaps, and that the environment had changed in the 18 months, again, when the SDM was being introduced, because 18 months ago, there was community-based services, but in the 18 months, there's now been a momentum within the government and donors to try and harmonize the different services. So the question arises, if you're trying to scale up a new innovation, how does it fit into that larger movement? We also learned through asking some of those systems and capacity assessments about an important partnership gap. Mali is the originator of the Bamako Initiative, which basically is taking encouraging the civil society to take a role in health services management and oversight. And those committees that actually oversee facilities were not actually being consulted in family planning, let alone the SCM. So we need to really go back and think of how we'll work with those organizations that parallel the health service delivery structures. Finally, the other way we're using this model is to look at research. And one of the big goals of the FAM project is to research scaling up the SDM. So it's clearly helping inform some of our M&E plans and systems, but we're also going to use a case study methodology and try and answer some of the questions. And you'll see those three questions there. The first two really relate to the scaling up process itself. The last one refers to some of the unique attributes of the SDM, because it does seem to be bringing new people to family planning, or because it's a natural method. Are these kinds of factors that are just uniquely related to the SDM having some influence on the scaling up process? So we are embarking on this multi-country exploration and hope that we'll guide more effective scale-up processes, increase systems analysis capacity of our counterparts, and explore new uses of the extended model at different levels, and also allow for some cross-country comparisons. Just looking really briefly as the project was beginning, where we were when you think of this vertical and horizontal scale-up. You can see the norms and procedures, training curricula, and the three countries I talked about. But basically, it seems like the easy first wins in scaling up of the SCM appear to be getting it into the norms and procedures, supply distribution, training curricula. It's less easy, and maybe those are where your first advocacy efforts are if you're trying to scale up something. Less easy, though, to get it into the health information systems and into budget lines for cycle beads, which means that with that changing environment, even as a scale-up process occurs, how do you actually then shift some of your advocacy messages to address some of these other issues that are critically important for sustainability? Looking horizontally, we see that in Madagascar, Mali, Rwanda, we have been covering through the last couple of years service delivery sites that is significant in terms of a scale-up process. But most of this has been done through the USAID bilaterals. And so there's parts of the country that are under-resourced relatively. And how do you work with countries to really achieve some of those equity issues on scaling up and making sure an innovation is actually included nationwide? There are resources involved, and how do you then broker those resources or find new partners and new resources to work with under-resourced partners? So I leave you, we're really just beginning, and there's 4 years remaining. So I'm leaving you with this nice photo of a community health worker in Madagascar with her little panier of methods, including the cycle beads. I think we'll be having more things to report in the next 4 years, and I hope we get the opportunity to share with you some of our scaling up research and results of what we're going through with our counterparts in these different countries. Thank you. Are there any questions?
Thanks, Susan. Let's see.